Please welcome Chris McKinney for our theme, Crime and Punishment.
Thank you. So I wasn't here last month because I needed a family fix. I flew to Colorado and spent a week with my daughters and my three grandchildren. And then I went on from there to Newark, or to Maplewood, New Jersey, and spent a week with my son and my fourth grandchild. When I fly, I read, and my favorite kind of books are true adventures. And the book I read was called Savage Harvest by Carl Hoffman, a National Geographic journalist. So when I got home, I looked online at slowlyo.org to see what the theme was for this month. And when I saw Crime and Punishment, I immediately thought of the book that I had read. Savage Harvest is a tale of cannibalism, colonialism, and Michael Hoffman's tragic quest. Now, I'd never heard of Michael Hoffman. Michael Rockefeller. I'd never heard of Michael Rockefeller. I'd heard of Nelson Rockefeller, his father, and I'd heard of John D. Rockefeller. Michael Rockefeller grew up in the 50s and 60s, during which some of that time his father, Nelson Rockefeller, was the governor of New York. As such, he was exposed at a very early age to art and culture, and he took a special interest in his father's collection of primitive art. When Michael graduated from Harvard, like most young men, he had a sense of adventure. Unlike most young men, he had unlimited funds. And he wanted to contribute to his father's collection of primitive art. So he ultimately traveled to Papua New Guinea. And he spent time with the Azmat tribe. The Azmats were a tribe of warriors whose complex culture was based on sacred kind of retribution, kind of violence, headhunting, and sacred ritualistic cannibalism. And Michael traded tobacco, which this tribe had become addicted to, for what to the Azmat tribe were simply utilitarian items, but to Michael was art, like canoes and oars and spears, and also for a sacred item in their culture called a biazyat pole, or a feast pole. And these feast poles were kind of like totem poles with the Azmat were very skilled in carving, and they had bodies stacked upon one another, and some of them were colored with blood rubbed in the wood of the bodies that they represented. So Michael brought these back to New York. On his second trip in 1961, when Michael was only 23, he and his traveling partner capsized their catamaran in the warm Arafura Sea, about 10 miles off the coast of southwestern New Guinea. Michael was a swimmer. He was strong, young, healthy, fit, and determined. So he tied two empty gas cans around his waist and decided to swim to shore for help. Ultimately, Michael's partner was rescued, but Michael was never seen or heard from again. The official story from the Dutch government was that Michael never made it to shore and he drowned. And that was the story that the Rockefellers preferred to believe, as opposed to the unofficial story that Michael made it to shore and his hosts, the Azmat, had him for dinner, literally. 50 years later, Carl Hoffman, the author of this book, retraced Michael's steps to try to get to the bottom of what really happened. He learned the Azmat language. He spent time with the Azmat tribe for about 3 months. He interviewed the elders. He interviewed the sons of the fathers who were on the shore when Michael had arrived. He discovered documents from the Dutch government and from the missionaries that were there that had been hidden shortly after Michael's disappearance. Based on Hoffman's research, it's highly likely that Michael was ritualistically butchered and eaten, and his bones and skull distributed among the tribe. Some years before Michael's trip there, a white man had killed some of the Azmat people. And in their world, killing a white man would restore balance. And so Michael just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. So back to our theme, crime and punishment. What's a crime in our civilized culture, and I use that term lightly, was a sacred ritual in the Azmat primitive culture. And you have to wonder, is crime and punishment, are those terms, can they be subjective? I mean, Michael, who grew up probably with a money can buy anything attitude, perhaps he arrived in New Guinea with a sense of entitlement that he paid the ultimate price for. Was that his crime and punishment? Crime, by its very definition, is illegal and often immoral, but only in the culture where those laws were created. Anyway, that's the stuff of wars. I finished the book when I landed in Newark. When I go to New York or Maplewood and visit my son, he works in Manhattan, and I always spend time in Manhattan. I've been to the Metropolitan Museum of Art many times, but I didn't realize till I read this book that there's a Rockefeller wing in the Metropolitan Museum of Art, and in that wing is all of these artifacts that Michael brought back. So I had to go, and I did, and it was just amazing to stand there and look up at these Biz-Yat poles. I looked up, that's how you pronounce it, it's spelled B-I-S-J. But there they were, these old wood that was cracking, you know, body upon body upon body, faded orange in some places, and canoes and oars and spears. Very much like the one that probably ended Michael Rockefeller's life when he made it to shore. Wow.